जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्णाचे प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री प्रभु नित्यानंद यद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharane Nibhase Shasanyavadi Prashchatyade Satarane. Om Aginatumilandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Madhavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale. Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sarapadatikam Vanchakopatu Vischa Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. Well, the second part of the 26th chapter, is the response of Nanda Maharaj to the questions of the Brijbasis, the Gopas, specifically about how they couldn't understand Krishna's position. Because there he was killing donkey demons, killing donkey demons. One more, please. That was wonderful, in its donkey way. One more time. And other demons. And he was holding up a hill, a seven-year-old boy holding up a hill for 7 days without even moving, without even switching hands. And he performed so many miraculous deeds and he saved the Brijbasis, but yet he was acting just like a little boy. He was stealing, he was lying, he was acting just like a little boy. And the Brijbasis were unable to figure out, is he the Supreme Lord? Is he an empowered being? Or is he just an ordinary boy? And there was another point that truly astonished them. Could you make this a bit lower, please? They were astonished by the fact that every living entity in Vrindavan, from the birds to the deer, to the peacocks, to the boys of Vrindavan, to the men of Vrindavan, to the gopis senior And junior gopis, they had such attraction to Krishna. And they were saying that, most astoundingly, their affection for Krishna, their anurag for Krishna, simply and continuously was growing and growing and growing day by day by day. How is that possible? But even more astounding than that, this all practically this amazingly powerful person, he was showing so much affection for them. He loved them. He loved to sit on their laps of the gopas. He just had so much affection for them. How is this all possible? They were astonished. First they thought, oh, he must, seeing the deeds that he performed, he must be the Paramatma. But the Paramatma is neutral. And Krishna wasn't neutral to them at all. So in their astonishment, they went to Nanda Maharaj, and maybe we can put on the first of the slides. And after asking, putting their questions to Nanda Maharaj said, please listen, Shriyatame Vacha Gopa. You gopas, please listen to my words. And Vetu Sankhya, Sankhya means doubts, about Arbaki. Means this boy. He didn't say, your doubts about my son. And there was a reason for this, because he, as it will come out later, he wanted their affection for Krishna to just increase and increase and increase. This boy, who you know and are so affectionate to, is not just my son. He's just this boy. So your doubts about this boy, Enam Kumaram Udishya. To this child, the doubts referring to this child, Gargo Me Jad Uvachaha. Garga Muni previously, the ha is in the past, he previously spoke about this boy, and when you hear his words, all your doubts about his identity will vanish. So, because Gargarishi was the, as we know, in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, he came on the request of Vasudeva, because he was the priest of the Jado dynasty. He came on the request of Vasudeva, thinking it was my duty as Krishna's father, as this boy's father, to make sure that he had a proper namkarana, a name-giving ceremony. So he sent Gargarishi, and Gargarishi just wandered into Braja as if he just happened to be there. And when Nanda Maharaj saw him, he immediately thought, this is the fulfillment of my desires, because I wanted this boy to be named by you, because Nanda was connected to the Yadu dynasty. So this was just what Gargarishi was hoping would happen. And Nanda had told, after he heard everything and about Krishna and Balaram, about their qualities, about their future, and what their names would be, he was completely satisfied. And he's going to repeat the words of Gargarishi to the gopas who were inquiring about Krishna's identity. There are 8 verses that Gargamuni spoke in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, and he's going to repeat them word by word, practically speaking, except he makes some very, very intelligent changes, especially in the last verse, to ensure that if he explains exactly what Gagamuni explained, and Gagamuni himself was indirect for the same reason in explaining Krishna's position, because he understood that Krishna was the Lord. But if he told that to Nanda Maharaj, and then Nanda Maharaj is going to repeat it to the cowherd men. He was afraid, Gagamuni was afraid, that Nanda's reverence and awe would increase and thereby decrease his loving affection for this boy, Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj is going to repeat that same mood as he explains these words of Gagarishi to the cowherd men, because Nanda Maharaj wants the cowherd men, he wants just their affection for Krishna to increase and increase and increase and shower him with love and care. He wanted them to think of Krishna as their son also, not only as his son. So the next verse, or first the, here's the translation. Gagamuni had said, go next one. O cowherd men, just hear my words and let all your doubts concerning my son be gone. Some time ago, Gagamuni spoke to me as follows about this boy, Arbaki, this boy, not about my son. Go ahead. And Gagamuni says, your son, Krishna, appears as an incarnation. He didn't say it. The Sanskrit isn't as direct as this. But your son, Krishna, appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. So indirectly, because the Sanskrit, as I said, it's idinam krishnatam gata. Your son assumes different bodies in different yugas. He doesn't directly say that he's an avatar or an incarnation, but he assumes different bodies in different yugas, and each has a different color. And this time he has assumed this blackish color. Because again, he doesn't want the love and affection, the awe, to transform into awe and reverence. And this brings out a point that is really of the essence of these chapters of the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. Gagamuni is explaining to Nanda Maharaj what he sees directly from the birth chart of Krishna and of Balaram. And he's seeing Krishna and Balaram from the point of view of a great sage, an all-knowing sage. And he's fearing that if Nanda Maharaj understands who Krishna is, as we mentioned, that he'll be full of awe and reverence as people approach the deity to take care of them. Who in this world thinks of taking care of the deity, the Lord? So he's explaining things from his point of view, and that point of view, again, is of a great sage. But the consciousness of the Brijbasis is so rare and so difficult to understand, because it is above all this. And this is what we're going to see in these chapters, that the love of the Brijbasis, if they know who Krishna is, and sometimes they do know who Krishna is, and there are examples of this, the gopis speak to Uddhava and says, don't come to me, you're Krishna, being a messenger of your Krishna, he's untrustworthy in his incarnation as Rama. Look what he did. He shot Bali from behind a tree like he was a hunter instead of a kshatriya. It means he knew that Krishna had previously been Ram. But the unique consciousness of the Brijbasis, the unique love they have for Krishna is unfathomable. It is so deep and inestimably large. It's like the ocean. When you put water into the ocean, when the rivers flow into the ocean, when the rain falls in the ocean doesn't increase in size. And if the sun beats down on the ocean and evaporates so much water and fills the clouds, the ocean doesn't decrease. The love of the Brijbasis is so unfathomably, ununderstandably, oceanically large, used, that nothing increases its love. It's an ocean. Again, yesterday we were speaking about the waves of that ocean. There are waves in that ocean, but the size of the ocean is an ocean. Nothing increases it, no matter what Krishna does. No matter what Krishna does, nothing can decrease it. It's so full. We're going to see the consciousness in these chapters of different devotees, and they're all devotees. Gargarishi is a devotee, but he's a sage, and he's seeing from the point of view of a sage. And in the next chapter, we're going to see Indra, who's a devotee, his dealings with Krishna. And in both cases, we're going to watch Krishna reciprocate, not with Garga Muni, but with Indra, with Surabhi, and with the resident and the devatas and the residents in Vrindavan. And he reciprocates with everyone differently. And especially, we watch very carefully how he reciprocates with the Brijbasis, whose love is so great that practically speaking, he will do anything for them. He'll do everything for them. And he finds himself, as we will see later in the Bhagavatam, not in these classes, that he is completely indebted to the love of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the Braja Gopikas. But to all of them, unfathomable, ununderstandable for a common person, or even an exalted devotee, even a devotee whose love is focused on Lord Narayan, cannot understand. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing this, and he's giving it out. This most intimate relationship with Krishna, which is in reciprocation with Krishna's love. So that's sort of an overview of these chapters. But let us continue with the words of Garga Muni through the mouth of Nanda Maharaj. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because we're entering, or we're in a path that we could, Mahaprabhu says very easily, just chant Hare Krishna, but it is leading to the most topmost reciprocation relationship with the Absolute Truth. The most rarefied, subtle consciousness of all. And we should know that Misra Bhakti or Mixed Bhakti will not get us there. This is clearly explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. It has to be Anya Bilasita Sanyam Gana Kamara Navrita. So it's sometimes Prabhupada will explain, it's very easy. How long will it take? It just takes a second. All you have to do is surrender. And sometimes he'll say, don't think it's so easy. It is easy if Krishna goes like this. Here it is. But what is going to incline Krishna to give his full blessing, which is really the only way one can achieve this type of exalted Brijbasi consciousness? It's by Krishna's mercy. But what is going to incline Krishna to give us mercy? That is what the devotee meditates upon and thinks about continuously. Who's serious? What type of chanting? What type of serving? And who to serve? What type of consciousness attracts Krishna to give mercy? And then the question rebounds: do I want that the goal of Krishna, of service to Krishna in Vrindavan? Do I want that enough to pay the price, even though there's no real price because it's mercy? Do I want that tatraloyam? Do I have that much eagerness that that the residents of Vrindavan continuously exhibit that type of eagerness to please Krishna in any way possible? Full-hearted eagerness where Krishna is actually the center. No ahankar, no false ego, which is the central principle of material existence. And soon as we want that and that alone, or Krishna's service alone in the specific mood of the residents of Vrindavan, then one has to wait for Krishna, when he so desires, to reciprocate with that. But in that is already an ecstatic platform. So in any case, as we're getting ahead of ourselves, so considering that Krishna has appeared in every millennium, don't be astonished by his activities, because the cowherd men were expressing, how is it possible that he's killed Putana? How is it possible that he and Balaram has taken Dhanukasura and wheeled him around and thrown him into trees and while laughing continuously while they were doing so. So don't be astonished by the activities of this little beautiful boy. Next verse, more the second of Gauga Muni's explanatory verses. For many reasons, so why does this boy come in different colors and different yugas, millenniums? For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudev. Another hint. He says sometimes, but actually he's saying indirectly that your son was actually born in Mathura. This is the vision of Gaugacharya, who is from Mathura. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. And when Krishna is in Vrindavan, he's called Krishna. And when he's in Mathura and Dwarka, he's called Vasudeva. And Balaram in Vrindavan is called Balaram or Rama or Baladev or Bala. And in Mathura, Dwarka, he's called Shankarshan. Next text. For this son of yours, there are many forms. There are many names according to his transcendental qualities and activities, and they are known to me because he has unlimited names and unlimited qualities. But people in general do not understand them. Now, what are the results, practically speaking, of this boy, this beautiful transcendental child? What are the results of his appearance in Gokul? Gaugacharya will now say the next verse. Eshavai Shreya Adatsvad. For you people of Braja, there will be Shreya, there will be auspiciousness for all you people of Braja, because of this boy. He will act auspiciously for you all. Gopa Gokula Nandana, just like a cowherd boy, Gopa of Gokul, the son, a beloved son of Nandana. And here, this is something, these next two lines, is something that the cowherd men they imbibe very carefully, and I always find it interesting that this verse says, the rest of the verse says, Anena Salvador Gani, because of him, because of him, if you take shelter of him, all the inauspiciousness, he's so auspicious, if you take shelter of him, every difficulty, every inauspicious situation, you will cross beyond. And remember, Nanda Maharaj was told this by Gaugacharya in secret, because they didn't want Kamsa to know that Gagamuni, who was the priest of the Yadu dynasty, had given the name to these two boys, because then he would think, Kamsa would think that he's the son of Vasudev and then come and kill him. So they did everything in secret. But all the residents of Vrindavan, whenever there was difficulty, they immediately took shelter of Krishna according to Gaugacharya's predictions and his words. Everything was in secret, but everyone knew about it. This is what it's like living in a village. And ISKCON is a village. By the way, in case you didn't notice. Next, this is a translation. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokul, this child will always act auspiciously for you. And by his grace alone, only, you will surpass all difficulties. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, he writes, for the cowherd men and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Because of his presence, all people would overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. From Prabhupada's purport to 8th chapter, 16th verse. Because of his presence, anyone who keeps his presence in their consciousness will similarly be situated in transcendental bliss. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Next verse, Gagamuni says, O Nanda Maharaj, as recorded in history, when there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra, having been dethroned, when honest people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to curb the rogues and to protect the people and enable them to flourish. So not only does Krishna protect in his incarnation when he comes, not only does he protect the residents of Braja, but he protects Indra, the devatas, the demigods too, in preserving universal order. The next verse. Demons, whoops, now we need, is there something before? Well, we didn't include it. Is there a verse before? No, okay, then go or cover it or something. I don't know what to do to make it disappear. Oops, you did it. Demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or any group attached to the all-auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. So by Krishna's mercy, no one is able to defeat those who are attached to Krishna. Those who are attached to Krishna, especially under Krishna's protection. Does that make you think anything about yourself and your desires? Perhaps. And there's one final verse, which was the one that was on the screen before. Tasmad Nanda Kumaroyam. So Gagamuni, this is the 8th verse of the words of Gagamuni. And this one specifically is shifted by Nanda Maharaj in two ways. Tasmat Nanda Kumaroyam, because Gagacharja says, Nanda Atmajo Yamate. He says that, oh Nanda, therefore, Tasmat, therefore. And here he says, this boy, this Kumara, this boy. But there he says, this son of yours, Nanda. Again, Nanda Maharaj wants to spread Krishna and make everyone feel that he's part of that community. Narayana Samo Gunai. This boy of yours, this son of yours, Nanda, Narayana Samo Gunai. He has all the qualities, equal in qualities to Lord Narayana. And if the Sandhi is broken differently, the translation turns to that Narayan has the qualities of your son, Krishna, your boy. And Shriyas, Kirtas, and Obhavena. He has the qualities of the Lord. He's the supreme in his opulences, Shri, his beauty, and his Kirti, his name, and his fame. They are the supreme, and his influence, charisma, power, influence. But then Gauga Muni, in telling Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, he says, tat kamasu na vishmaya. But that's what Nanda Maharaj says. But he says, gopayasva samahita. Gauga Muni said that therefore, and it sounds almost contradictory, you should take care of this boy very carefully. That's what that Gauga Muni said. But here, Nanda Maharaj says that tat kamasu na vishmaya, because their question specifically was, we are astonished by his activities of this boy. Please explain how that can be reconciled with him acting like a little boy sometimes. He's stealing butter, etc. So because he has these qualities and his fame, and his influence, instead of saying take care of him very carefully, Nanda Maharaj changes that to, by his activities, do not be surprised, do not be astonished by the way that this boy acts, because he has all power, like Narayan has power. And this is the conclusion of Nanda Maharaj as to the position of Krishna. Here's first the translation. This is the conclusive words of Gargacharya. O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good, Narayana Samoganai, is as good as Narayan in his transcendental qualities, his opulence, his name, his fame, and his influence. He is exactly like Narayana. Thus, you should not be astonished by his activities. Now, I'll read some of the comments on this verse, which is the conclusion about Krishna's identity, because that was the question that the gopas had asked Nanda Maharaj. Please remove our confusion about who Krishna is. So don't be astonished by his activities, which are in fact very astonishing. So Gauga Muni wanted to impress the minds upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj that your worshipable deity, Narayan, is so pleased with you that he has sent you a son that is almost equal to him. Therefore, you should always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, and we should also remember this, whenever you want to do something very good, there will be many obstacles and hindrances. Therefore, you should raise and protect this child very cautiously and carefully, as Narayan always protects you. And if you do this, this child will be as good as Narayan. This is from Prabhupada's purport. So that's what that's what Gaga Muni wanted Nanda Maharaj to understand. And Nanda Maharaj, what he wanted the cowherd men to understand is this. Please remain thinking of Krishna as your son or your brother or your friend. Therefore, in repeating Gaga Muni's words, he did not say your son, but he said Kumarayam, this boy. He did this so that the cowherd men would feel that Krishna was not only his son, but he was their son as well. Though they had seen his power, Nanda didn't want them to give up their affection for him due to awe and reverence. So this brings up this point about the Vrishbasis that will be described directly by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura in the final chapter that we'll be speaking on, the 28th chapter, where Nanda Maharaj is rescued by Krishna. And then Krishna shows, gives the Vrishbasis so many different levels of realization. But the residents of Vrindavan, not only is it hard for us to understand their consciousness and how complete their love is for Krishna, they think of themselves as worldly people. They think of themselves as possessing a lower birth in the cowherd community, absorbed in material activities. Well, in fact, they were simply only absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and they remained unaware of this continuously. They remained unaware of their position as the most exalted persons in existence. This is by the power of Yoga Maya, so that the pastimes of Krishna can go on uninterrupted, just in the way that Krishna wants, so that Krishna would have pleasure. So in that sense, their consciousness is covered. And Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men have such a, one could say, a simplicity of heart, that they tend their cows, they act for Krishna's pleasure. Mother Yashoda is churning the butter and just simply gathering the best cows and feeding them the best grass, and then churning the butter herself, the yogurt into butter herself, because she knows that Krishna loves this. Very, very simple. But simply in love with Krishna, who is everything for them. So Nanda Maharaj, his understanding after hearing from Gauga Rishi about who Krishna was, and after hearing and after thinking about it himself, his mood is he is not Narayan, but he's like Narayan, and that Narayan's power had entered Krishna. And he considered Krishna not as the Supreme Lord, and also not as a child, an ordinary human, just someone who performs extraordinary deeds. And he thought that somehow or another, a great personality has entered our family lineage to ornament it somehow or another. Now, Nanda Maharaj, again, he altered the verses because he wanted the cowherd men to continue blessing Krishna, everything, every thought, every action, even every alteration of the verses was just thinking about what would be best for Krishna. Because a child is nourished by the affection of his surroundings. So Nanda wanted the cowherd men to just continue loving and blessing his child, saying, live a long life. And they shouldn't be neutral to him, thinking that he's the Supreme Lord, and look at him with awe and reverence. And Nanda also wanted to say, because there's two reasons for their questioning Nanda about, were astonished at his activities, Krishna's activities. So one was addressed, answered by Gauga Muni's words, and Nanda's repeating those words, saying, he's so powerful, Narayana Samo Gunai, that he is empowered by Lord Narayan, so he can do astonishing things. So don't be astonished by his activities. Don't think it's extraordinary. Don't look at him like this. But the Vrijbasis, nothing could make the quality of their love of he's our boy, Mamata, he's ours. He's our village boy. He's our son. Nothing could diminish that. So that was also something that was astonishing. So Nanda wished to say, do not be astonished about his deeds and that he is the natural object of your prema, your love, and the natural object of everyone in brothers' love. Don't be astonished by this. And also, don't be astonished by the natural prema that he feels for you. This is Braja, this astonishing reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees, and this will be even clearer by the end. So in this way, the cowherd men, their bewilderment and doubts about Krishna were removed, because after all, they had seen him hold up a hill, and they didn't even notice it while Krishna was doing it, because they were so enthralled and enchanted by Krishna doing that. But later they began to consider, and that consideration thought, wait a second, how could he be an ordinary boy? Look what he's done. But how could he be anything other than an ordinary boy? Because he steals, he cheats, he lies, etc., etc., etc. So Nanda Maharaj's words remove their doubts. And then he continues, Nanda Maharaj continues. After Gauga Rishi spoke these words to me, this is the next. Nanda Maharaj is speaking now on his own and returned home after Gauga Rishi did this. I began to consider that Krishna, who keeps all of us free from trouble, is actually an expansion of Lord Narayana. And not only out of respect for Gauga Muni's words do I think like this, but I also experience this. I also experience how Krishna does wonderful things and how Krishna is just an ordinary boy and how Krishna protects me and all of us at every moment. So after this, the cowherd men always would turn to Krishna. Or even before this, whenever there was difficulty, when a fire, forest fire, the boys, the cowherd men, they'd look, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So then the 24th verse, and then there's one final verse that we'll read towards the end. Having heard Nanda Maharaj, this is the 24th verse, relate the statements of Gauga Muni, the residents of Vrindavan became enlivened. Their perplexity, their confusion was gone. And they worshiped Nanda, and they worshiped Lord Krishna with great respect. And yet, despite the respect, their love for him didn't decrease at all in their special mood, nor did it increase. Neither decrease nor increase. It was full as the ocean is full. Then there is a comment. Thus the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda with offerings of fragrances, garlands, ornaments, and garments, cloth. They also lovingly honored Nanda with jewels and gold coins. Apparently, our acharyas say, Lord Krishna, while this discussion was going on, Krishna was in the forest. So when he returned, they were thinking, oh, Krishna Narayana Samoganai. So they encouraged Krishna. They wanted to encourage Krishna and show him some affection. So they gave him beautiful yellow garments. They gave him necklaces, armlets, earrings. They gave him crowns. And they shouted, all glories to the jewel of Vrindavan. Now, in the Vishnu Purana, there is an explanation that is, it's very charming. That when Krishna, after the cowherd men spoke to Nanda Maharaj, they spoke directly to Krishna. And they asked him the same question because they wanted to hear this reply about, who are you really? They wanted to hear it directly from Krishna's mouth and to confirm what Nanda Maharaj said. So Vishnu Purana says, when Krishna had come back from the forest, we are most fortunate because you have saved us and the cows from the greatest danger by lifting Govardhan Hill. Your play as a child, no one has ever seen a child play like this before, but your birth in the cowherd community is ununderstandable for us. For you do amazing things, you have so much power, you have so much qualities, but yet you've taken your birth in an ordinary cowherd community. And we are all materialistic. This is bewildering to us. So how, oh attractive child, how can your actions be described? You subdued Kaliya in the water, you killed Dhanukasura. You lifted Govardhan, and now, even though I had heard it before from Nanda Maharaj, now we have a doubt. We swear at the feet of the Lord, O Krishna, of unlimited prowess, it is true. We cannot consider that you are human. We cannot consider that you are a human because we have seen all your powers. And O Keshava, all of Braja, including the women, the children, everyone has unlimited affection for you. Even the devatas, even the demigods cannot perform the acts that you perform. So since you have such powers, even as a child, it is not proper for you to be staying with us in this cowherd village, which is so simple. Oh, unlimited Krishna, these thoughts of ours, these contradictory, paradoxical thoughts of ours, give rise to a doubt. Now we're asking you, are you a demigod? Are you a asura? Are you a yaksha? Are you a Gandharva? And thinking about this, we've concluded that you are simply our friend and relative. And yet, we can't help offering our respects to you. So Krishna is going to reply in a way that I found very soothing. He was silent for a moment, as if considering what to say. And then he spoke with affection mixed with some anger. Affection and anger. Oh, cowherd men, if you're not ashamed of having a relationship with me who has been born in a lowly cowherd community, or if I am praiseworthy, then why think about this at all? If you have affection for me, and if I am to be praised by you, you should simply think of me as your closest friend and your relative. Let your affection conquer the doubts in your mind. Let your experience conquer the doubts in your mind. I am not a devata, he said. I'm not a gandhava, I'm not a yaksha, I'm not a demon. I have been born as your friend and as your relative. Do not think otherwise. And all of you, having great prowess, should think of me in this way. I am your relative, and I am your friend. We are in the same village, like growing up in the same house. If I am worthy of your praise as a friend and have powers like a devata, what is the use of even thinking about that? So though they had all doubts removed by the answer of Nanda, they spoke eagerly to Krishna to make their conviction stronger and hear these words directly from his own mouth. Now, Krishna willing, I'll be able to read this final verse, which is a favorite verse about Govardhan Lila of His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj. But I wanted to do one other thing first, that in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, Garga Muni practically says, although indirectly to Nanda Maharaj, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your son, this beautiful boy who is the Supreme Lord. And then Garga Muni leaves and there's a change of scene. And for the first time, we're going to see this little boy in action. And what is he doing? He's crawling through the mud of Braja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is saving everyone. He and Balaram are crawling through the mud of Braja, mixed with cow dung. And our acharyas describe, I mean, that is astounding. After this great description, I mean, the description of his greatness, this is our introduction to the boy's activities, practically speaking. And our acharyas describe that he hears the tinkling of ankle bells. And he follows those ladies who are walking in front of him with Balaram, crawling through the mud and cow dung. And all of Braj, all the village ladies, especially at this time, are just watching this. And they're following the tinkling of the ankle bells, thinking that these are our mothers. Then the ladies turn around. And Krishna and Balaram look and see that these aren't our mothers. Our mothers are sitting over there. And they become frightened. And they crawl to their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, who are watching all this, and just jump onto their laps. And Mother Yashoda praises Rohini Devi, embraces. And Krishna has performed this incredible activity of crawling through Braj Raj Duli, the mud of Vrindavan, and just try to guess the affection, guess, imagine, contemplate, which we can't do, the affection and the ecstasy felt by Mother Yashoda and Rohini as Krishna and Balaram ran to them alone, or not ran, crawled to them alone, and jumped onto their laps. But more astonishing things than that even occur. And I wanted to read, but not alone, some of these pastimes. But it's more than any one person could read. Is anyone here who would like to volunteer to help me read this little Leela that we will read? Anyone wish to volunteer? Oh yeah, there's one. That elderly Mataji over here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, there's one over there. Maybe we could bring two chairs and two microphones. Oh, I'm glad you volunteered, you two. And you happen to have the scripts with you even. How nice. What a stroke of luck. Oh, yes. Well, we also have some light, but not enough. Thank you. Thank you. Are we ready? You can share that microphone. Is that okay? I am the narrator. Krishna's pastimes of crawling about and drinking his mother's breast milk gradually stopped. And soon he walked on his lotus feet and he started stealing butter. Is there anyone who did not feel unlimited bliss when the Lord, who is the very source of bliss, who is composed of bliss, when he enacted his childhood pastimes? And one day, when no one was looking, everyone close your eyes, Krishna began his pastime of stealing fresh butter. Startled, shocked, when he saw his own reflection in a jeweled inlaid pillar as he was stealing, he shivered in fear, and he said,
"Oh, dear brother, do not tell mother. I promise that I will save some butter for you, and you may enjoy it too."
Watching her mischievous son from a hidden place, his mother, Yashoda, heard these sweet words that were broken, spoken in broken language. She heard them with great relish. Then she stepped forward and innocently appeared before Krishna and Balaram. And pointing to this effulgent reflection of himself, Krishna said,
"Oh, Ma, being very greedy, this boy came here today wanting to steal your butter. Although I forbade him, he did not listen to me. And when I got very angry with him, he also got angry. But I am not at all greedy for butter."
And on another day, Yashoda was outside the house engaging in her domestic activities, while inside the house, Krishna again stole butter. And when Yashoda returned, she called out to him,
"Oh, my darling, where are you? And what are you doing?"
Hearing her, Krishna became afraid, and he stopped stealing the butter. Pausing for a moment, he answered,
"Mother, mother, my hand started burning from the shining effulgence of my ruby bangles. So I stuck it in this pot to relieve the pain."
Pleased by her son's clever words, Yashoda said,
"Oh, hey, Vatsa, come and sit on my lap. Oh, my darling, show me the burns on your hand."
Then Yashoda kissed Krishna's hand and consoled him, saying,
"Ah, oh, look. Oh, dear, your hand has been burnt. So let me remove these ruby bangles."
Then, on another occasion, while the soothing rays of the full moon illumined the courtyard of Nanda's house, Yashoda sat talking with some elderly gopis while Krishna was playing nearby. Krishna sneaked up beside Yashoda He removed the veil covering her head. He loosened her braid and patted her on the back to get her attention. And he continuously began crying. And Yashoda's heart swelled with motherly love. And with great respect and affection, the gopis asked,
"Oh, darling, what do you want? Do you want some kheer?"
"No, no."
"Do you want some thick, creamy yogurt?"
"No, no."
"Do you want some cheese?"
"No, no, no. I want freshly churned condensed butter."
"What do you mean by condensed butter?"
Krishna then pointed his little index finger to the full moon in the sky. And then he said,
"I want that freshly churned condensed butter."
"Oh, Vatsa, do not mistake the moon for a huge piece of butter. It is a Rajahamsa gliding across the lake of the sky."
"Then give me that Rajahamsa so I can play with him before he reaches the other bank of the lake."
Full of anxiety, Krishna began kicking his legs and crying loudly,
"Give me, give me, give me."
While Krishna showed his childish antics, the other gopis said,
"Darling, they have lied to you. What you see is not a Rajahamsa. It is the moon hanging in the sky, and it is called Chandra."
"Then give me that Chandra. I really want to play with it. Get it for me right now."
Then Yashoda placed her crying child on her lap, and she tried her best to comfort him.
"Darling, actually, it is freshly churned condensed butter. Definitely, it is not a Rajahamsa, and nor is it the moon. Regardless, I can never give it to you, because by chance or arrangements of providence, it has poisonous spots on it. It looks very tasty, but no one in the world can eat it."
Then Krishna asked his mother,
"Mother, mother, why is it stained with spots of poison? What is poison?"
Seeing a change in Krishna's mood, Mother Yashoda embraced him, and she spoke to him in a soft, gentle voice.
"Listen attentively, my dear son. There is an ocean of milk called Kheer Sagar."
"Mother, how many cows made that ocean?"
"Darling, that milk ocean is not made by cows."
"Mother, you're lying to me. How can there be milk without cows?"
"Darling, the one who gave cows the ability to produce milk can also make milk without cows."
"Who is he?"
"He is the Lord, the cause of all creation. He is Bhagavan. He is immovable and all-pervading. And yet, although he is everywhere, I cannot show him to you."
"Are you telling the truth?"
"Long, long ago, the demons and the demigods had a terrible fight. And then, to favor the demigods and to bewilder the demons, the Lord churned the Kheer Sagar ocean of milk. Mount Mandara served as the churning rod, and Vasuki, king of all serpents, offered his body as the rope. And the demons and the demigods stood on opposite sides, pulling that rope.
Did they churn the same way the gopis do?
Yes, my son. And from their churning came a terrible poison named Kalakuta.
Mother, mother, how did that churning of the milk ocean produce poison? Only snakes have poison.
Darling, Mahadev drank that poison, and the snakes drank some drops of poison that fell from his mouth. And as a result, they too have poison. So the moon is spotted with remnants of that poison. And therefore, do not try to eat that butter. But please take my freshly churned butter instead.
And after hearing this description, Krishna, felt sleepy. So Yashoda picked him up and put him to rest in an opulent golden bed on a very soft mattress that was whiter than the powder of camphor. And the next morning early, Yashoda brought butter, yogurt, and other eatables to Krishna's room. And after lovingly waking him and fondling his body, she said to
wake
Krishna,
up. Wake up. You seem very weak from not eating sufficiently last night.
Yashoda then cleansed Krishna's mouth with scented water, and she offered him a golden plate that was full of butter, yogurt, and other delights.
Oh, my beloved son, take whatever you like.
Mother, I will not eat anything from you. Last night you lied to me, and then you put me to sleep. And I felt very distressed due to hunger.
Krishna, if you went to sleep
and were sleeping all night long,
then who stole the butter?
Mother, when did I steal butter? You're lying.
And in this way, with his charming, playful, transcendental pastimes, Krishna continuously captivated the heart of Mother Yashoda. And sometimes, while roaming in the courtyard, Krishna would catch a stray calf. He would take the calf and put it on his lap. And he kissed the calf with his lotus mouth. And seeing this, Mother Yashoda felt both pleased and simultaneously full of anxiety. In the pasturing ground, Krishna sometimes grabbed the tail of a calf, and startled, the calf would jump up and run away, and Krishna was dragged, and he was dressed only by the wind. Thus, he stole the hearts of the Brijbasis. Sometimes Krishna smeared cow dung all over his body, and seeing it as musk covering his body, the Brijbasis enjoyed a festival of his beauty. How can there be anything but sweetness coming from the one who is sweetness and beauty personified? At other times, Yashoda tied a very attractive turban pagri on Krishna's head and dressed him in gorgeous yellow garments. And after marking his body with tilak, the color of Gaura Chandra, she would anoint his lotus eyes with soft kajal. And accepting the mood of an ordinary mother, Yashoda placed her saliva on Krishna's forehead to prevent anyone from casting an evil eye on her son, whose sublime elegance entranced the entire creation. And while playing in the courtyards of the gopis, Krishna often wore necklaces of tiger nails set in gold and a waist belt bedecked with costly jewels. And once the Braja Gopikas talked amongst themselves.
Krishna. Krishna brings good fortune wherever he goes, and his presence makes everybody's life glorious. Who in this world is not enchanted by his frivolous and amusing childhood pastimes? Who cannot appreciate these delightful activities?
Thus, whenever Krishna misbehaved or broke the gopis' clay pots and stole their butter, rather than getting upset, they all felt the greatest happiness. Thank you very much for volunteering. Hare Krishna. And last, before we end this class, we'd like to show a video that tells in brief about this reply of Nanda Maharaj and also adds the description of the final verse of this pastime, of this chapter, and also the commentary on this verse by our acharyas, which is very, very sweet.
Nanda Maharaj heard the puzzled words of the coward men and within his heart awoke the instructions Gaugacharja had previously spoken to him that revealed the truth about Krishna. "O cowherd men," Nanda Maharaj began, "all your doubts soon will be gone, for Gauga Muni years before had revealed to me the truth about Krishna's position. All your confusion about the identity of Krishna will soon be gone," Nanda Maharaj told his coward friends, "for the words Gauga Muni spoke to me are powerful, they are potent." Actually, Gauga Muni, when speaking to Nanda, had decided to not openly speak of Krishna's divinity. He did not say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who possesses unlimited power. For Gauga Muni feared that doing so would increase Nanda's respect and even fear of Krishna, and thereby decrease his affection for his son. Nanda Maharaj began, "Sri Gauga Muni told me that your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. Therefore, do not be astonished by his activities." These words of Gauga Muni only indirectly indicate Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although the cowherd men had previously already heard of Gauga Muni's predictions about Krishna, hearing Nanda speak these words now, after having seen Krishna hold aloft Govardhan Hill for 7 days, made the sage's words seem especially relevant. Nanda continued, "This beautiful son of yours appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva." Here, Gauga Muni indirectly informed Nanda of Krishna's birth in the home of Vasudeva. Maharaj Nanda continued repeating the words he had heard from Gauga Muni. "This son of yours has many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Why? Because only a rare soul will know the true position of your son. for he has unlimited names and forms based on his countless incarnations. And why has Krishna appeared now? And what will be the result of his appearance amongst the coward community in Braja? Nanda Maharaj continued, to increase the transcendental bliss of the coward men of Gokul, this child will always act auspiciously for you, O Nanda, and by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties, and you always will be situated in transcendental bliss. O Nanda Maharaj, said Nanda himself as he repeated Garga Muni's statements, as recorded in history, when there was an irregular, incapable government, when Indra had been dethroned, and when Anna's people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to curb the rogues, to protect the people, and to enable the people to flourish. Demons cannot harm the demigods, for they always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to all auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. Therefore, Garga Muni concluded, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana in his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence. He is exactly like Narayana. Therefore, do not be astonished by his activities. Hearing saintly Gaugacharja's words convinced Nanda that Krishna was a child, but an extraordinary child who possessed qualities similar to those of Lord Narayana, and that he should raise this child with great attention and care. Doing so, as Nanda understood Garga Muni's words to mean, Narayan will always protect you, and your boy will have qualities as good as those of Narayana. Out of love for Krishna, Nanda wanted the coward men to also not neglect caring for Krishna, despite his great power and glorious attributes. He didn't want them to abandon their affection for him due to awe and reverence, but rather to continue blessing him each day by saying, "Oh boy, live a long life." Nanda did not want the coward men to become neutral towards Krishna, thinking that their blessings, protection, and well-wishing affection were unnecessary. Nanda Maharaj then spoke his own conclusion to his coward friends. He said, after Garga Rishi spoke these words to me and he returned home, I began to consider that Krishna, who keeps us free from trouble, is actually an expansion of Lord Narayana. I consider him invested with Narayana's power, and therefore he is one who can remove our suffering. Not only out of respect for Garga Rishi do I think like this, but I also experience Krishna in this way. He is like Narayana, and that Narayana's power has entered our son. So, Nanda Maharaj said, I've concluded that Krishna is neither God nor an ordinary human. Rather, he is someone special who performs extraordinary deeds. I consider that a great personality has come to ornament and bless our family lineage. Thus, Nanda Maharaj became absorbed in Garga Rishi's statements. And his words, which were powerful due to the depth of his deliberation, removed the bewilderment and doubts of the coward men. The residents of Vrindavan then became enlivened and honored Nanda with fragrances, garlands, ornaments, and garments. They also respectfully and lovingly offered Nanda jewels and gold coins. While this conversation was taking place, Krishna was playing in the forest with his friends. Upon returning home in the evening, the residents of Vrindavan decorated Krishna with beautiful yellow garments, necklaces, omelets, earrings, and crowns. And by shouting, all glories to Krishna, the jewel of Vrindavan. Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokul, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, the animals, and women of Braja. When Lord Krishna, who was by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had him alone as their only shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. Holding up the hill, he protected the coward community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows, and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. O King Parikit, may that Krishna who lifted Govardhan Hill and protected the inhabitants of Raja from the disturbance caused by hunger, hail, and rain arising from Indra's wrath, who is expert in starting the worship of Govardhan and cutting the pride of the demigods, may that Krishna be pleased with us. When Indra, angry that his sacrifice was stopped, began to pour rain on Braja, Krishna smiled slightly, seeing that the area contained animals, men and women, who had fully taken shelter of him, seeing that they were afflicted with rain, hail, lightning and wind. He then, with little effort, easily lifted up Govardhan, like a small child lifts a mushroom. He thus protected Braja. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikit. May he who protects you with the essence of the Vedas in the form of the Bhagavata from the lightning bolt curse arising from Sringi's anger, who is expert at starting the sacrifice of listening to the Bhagavatam and who destroys the pride of the Brahmanas devoid of bhakti, may he be pleased with us. In this way, Sukadev, by praying for Krishna's mercy, indicates that Parikit should also apply this verse to himself. May Krishna, Govinda, who is the Indra of Gokul, who cuts the pride of heavenly King Indra, may he be pleased with us, with Parikit, with me, and with the assembled listeners. Now, here is Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Here is their comment on this verse. Thus, in concluding this chapter, Sukadev in great bliss remembers the lifting of Govardhan Hill, realizing that the great affection they had for Krishna was the highest of human goals, understanding that such love was the highest taste, and that it was solely dependent upon his mercy, Krishna's mercy. Sukadev prays for such love. In the terrifying condition that Indra had created, the Vrijavasis surrendered to Krishna, who, directly seeing their suffering, became filled with compassion. Still, although overcome with compassion, he showed bravery and was undisturbed and smiled scornfully at Indra. In that mood, he effortlessly lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, though he was only a child. He lifted it like a mushroom without effort, and he held it high for 7 days. Overcome with astonishment, joy, zeal, and conviction, Sukadev then says, "He protected Braja," and he thus gave the greatest benefit to Indra, who is the greatest offender. Krishna, therefore, is merciful. May he be pleased with us who have taken shelter of him, though we are fallen. May Krishna also show such love for me, and on attaining such love, I will attain the position of following the people of Braja. Thus end the comments of Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami.
Put together a very deep prayer of your own from the best part of you as to your desire, remembering the mercy of Krishna. And pray as deeply as you can, seeing how Krishna is so kind.
Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Prasadam, and more of the enchanting Leela of Krishna will begin at 7 o'clock, and hearing about his naughty activities and how Mother Yashoda reacted to them as he broke the pot and stole the butter. Hare Krishna.